I'd hired people before, but I'd never really hired virtual contractors before. But I was running this custom design, custom dev team. I had to figure out, okay, how do I interview? How do I hire? How do I onboard? How do I manage people? How do I retain these people? The second year after my divorce, I paid myself over $100,000, not revenue, but income, working 25 hours a week. So I crushed it.
Hello and welcome. My name is Brent Weaver, and this is the Digital Agency Show. The podcast that goes behind the scenes with today's top agencies and entrepreneurs. I am really glad you're here. And once again, it's time to transform your business mindset. We put together an agency accelerator package for agency owners and growing freelancers looking to scale. We've got all kinds of free resources like the 39 lead gen strategies checklist, our $20,000 website proposal template, live trainings hosted by yours truly, free access to our community group, and much, much more. Get access now and dive in at yougurus.com/agency. That's yougurus.com/agency. Hey, what's up, podcast listeners, digital agency owners? Welcome to another episode of the Digital Agency Show. I'm your host, Brent Weaver, and today we're hanging out with one of our wonderful U Academy members, Natasha Galinsky. Natasha is founder and owner of On Purpose Projects. She is a custom web design and development agency owner. She's been an entrepreneur for over 20 years. She's been named as, or at least nominated for Women of Influence Canada 2 times. She's a mom of 3 and lover of salsa dancing. Welcome to the program, Natasha. Good to have you here.
Hey, thanks, Brent. Excited to be here.
Yeah. So I guess take us back. Like, what was your, start an agency catalyst? Was this like an intentional business? Was this an accidental business? Was it a transition? I know you've been doing this at On Purpose for 8 years. Like, what was the start?
Oh my God. I am the quintessential agency owner. I was a management consultant and I had a client who was like, hey, can you find someone to help me do a website? I was a nonprofit management consultant, so consulting in the nonprofit sector. And my client was like, hey, can you find someone to help do a website? So I did what every good freelancer does or consultant does. I went to Upwork, got a guy from Bangladesh for 10 bucks an hour, and we helped him with his website. And then my client was like, hey, you know, one of my partners, could your guy look at his site? And literally, like within 6 months, management consulting was out, agency ownership was in. So I have to date never built a website. And now I run a full stack dev team of 5 full-time developers.
Cool. Very cool. So from, Upwork random contractor to 5 full-time dev team members. And maybe it's a strength, right? Like I always wonder, like people have a hard time delegating. And I always wonder, like, if you just took away their skills, if you just made it impossible for them to do the work themselves, would that be like a cool hack to get them to, sounds like it worked for you.
I cannot build. If I was on Survivor, build a website, I'd be the first one off the island. Like no doubt about it.
So then your strength is more like talking to clients, managing the overall project, or where does your role fit into the business now that you're a few years in?
Yeah. I mean, my role has been more or less the same since the beginning where my lane is management, marketing, and money. Mm. So I run the team. I manage the projects. Like I'm a trained project manager. I mean, that's neither here nor there, but my background is all in management and consulting and stuff like that. And I have a bookkeeper, but I make sure I do all the billing myself. I'm just on top of also that. And then the marketing. I'm the lead gen and the sales. So I'm like very front end. So yeah, I don't have anything necessarily to do with the deliverables more than just supporting my team to get it done.
Yeah. And so has the agency stayed very focused on web projects, or have you expanded into other, like doing actual marketing for your clients? Or when you say you do the lead gen and sales, that's for On Purpose Projects, right?
Exactly. Yeah. It's for me. Like I have over many years played with the idea of turning us into a digital marketing agency, but could never get on board. Like for me, it was just wasn't the right fit. Like my team they're all incredibly technical. Like we're the kind of team that does custom CMS, custom e-com, custom APIs, like very, very techie. We're not like an Elementor or Divi page builder dev team. We are like, hey, you need a web app built from zero? Okay, let's go. So I just loved so much what we did of our custom complex corporate service offering I never really felt compelled or felt the financial need to become a marketing agency. So we've always just been very true to our to us as a tech team.
Very cool. Who's the typical client of the agency right now?
I would say we work with a lot of, a lot of SaaS companies.
Okay.
Because yeah, usually they're looking for sort of fancy custom web stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say SaaS, a lot of e-com. I would say SaaS and e-com are our big two.
Okay. What's worked for you in terms of finding new clients?
I actually get most of our work from Upwork.
Okay.
And yeah, so I get quite a bit of work from Upwork, and then we get a lot of repeat business and referrals. I've never actually done social media or SEO or content creation or, knock wood, I've never had to. I've never had to pay for marketing. So until now.
Yeah. So you're like, you kind of use Upwork as a lead gen channel, find new projects, get a client from there, and then evolve them maybe into more of a direct client service kind of thing.
Totally. Yeah. Like we have really good client retention. So I would say, at least half of our projects at any given point are with repeat purchases from our clients.
Yeah. What's the typical size of a web app project for you?
In terms of revenue?
Yeah.
I would say going to a website, I would say our average website, if it's like a redesign or something, would start, probably around 15, 20,000.
Yeah.
And then web app, a web app, it depends on the complexity, but a web app could be 30,000 maybe. Again, depending on what it does.
Yeah.
Right. But definitely high ticket. Again, we work very, custom. So with that comes, it just takes more time. We don't do any template kind of work. We're very from scratch type of design.
Hey, what's up, agency owners? I want to let you know about a hosting platform that is giving digital agencies and creators around the world an edge when it comes to site speed, scalability, and profit. It's called Cloudways, and it's designed to create exceptional experiences for you and your clients that guarantees unmatched performance, reliability, and choice with 24/7 award-winning support. Cloudways is excited to offer our listeners a $50 hosting credit in addition to their amazing benefits of their agency partner program. For more details, head over to yougurus.com/cloudways or use promo code DASCW when signing up. Let's get back to our show.
What's been a top challenge for you over the last 8 years? I mean, obviously, probably hard to summarize 8 years of business and life in a 15-20 minute podcast. But has there been a time where you're like, I at least know for myself, I have these kind of like 3 to 5 kind of quintessential moments that defined a lot of what the business ultimately became or who I kind of became.
Yeah, no, those are great questions. I mean, I would say, having in the last 8 years, I'm in Canada. So, it's affected us differently than those of you in the United States, but it's like all the changes to the economy, to the world, COVID, obviously now with like, and it just seems like for me, there's a couple of things, but I would say as the owner, as the founder, keeping everybody working. We were so busy during COVID, but like any business, it's like that mental resiliency and the fortitude to like, keep a level head while the world feels like it's falling apart all around you.
Yeah.
Support your team, make sure everybody keeps their job, keeping the money coming in, like the business coming in, even when, I know during COVID, like agencies all around me were falling, right? And we were up 100% and we had COVID was really, really good for us. But I remember just being in mastermind groups and everyone's complaining and I just couldn't go online. I couldn't use Facebook. I couldn't use LinkedIn. I couldn't handle the mental distraction. I had to stay focused. And I had to focus on because in my family, I'm the main breadwinner. Like I'm a single parent, so I didn't have like anyone else financially to fall back on. So I had to keep my head. And some days that was the hardest thing I could do. Like it just feels like for those of us, who run a business, it feels like in the last at least 5 years, it's like you can't catch a break, right? Where it's like, okay, things are back to normal. Okay. It just feels like, okay, I'd love it just to be not an international crisis. I would say that's one of them. I would say, 5 years ago, I went from being a work at home, agency, work at home mom, making $2,000 a month, and then went through a divorce and now had to become the breadwinner. Right. And how do you do that? How do I be the mom I want to be, but also be the provider? Right. And so that was, definitely another mental challenge, but yeah, figured it out, right? So
how did you do that, right? Like I'm sitting here not in a position of being a single parent. And you're a single mom of three. Are they all they're still at home? They're still like
my oldest is 17 or almost 17. But I have three teenage kids now. But at the time they were, how old were they then? Maybe 12, 11, 10 kind of thing. I had three really close in age. And honestly, like when we actually split up and all of a sudden I realized, okay, there's not going to be any alimony, there's not going to be any child support. I was like, what the hell am I going to do? Like I had no idea because I'd never been the money. Like he had always been the breadwinner. Mm. And so literally work at home mom, I had the agency then, but I was only literally working just enough to kind of quote unquote chip in, right? And then all of a sudden I was like, I had no idea how to make money with my agency. I had no idea. And so I just started like putting in the hours, right? I was working longer days. But then obviously the guilt, the mom guilt kicks in and you're dying to be there for your kids and be accessible. And obviously you want to be present for your kids if they're going through this divorce and all the emotional crazy that went with that. And so I was waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to try to like get work done before my kids got up and then drove them to school and then work there at school. And then after school, they'd do some screen time and I'd be working again. And it just kind of became this gong show. And I was so tired. Obviously, I'm not like waking up at three. It's not really good for the brain capacity. And I just realized, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't keep doing this. And so I just figured out, and I had one or two contractors at the time. Like I had a bookkeeper and I had like a web developer I mentioned. But I'm like, I need more people. Like I had the work, thankfully, but I'm like, I needed to not be working 50 hours a week. And so I'd hired people before, but I never really hired virtual contractors before. I'd never hired for tech before because again, I'm not a tech person. I'm not a designer. I'm not a developer, but I was running this custom design, custom dev team for this business. And, so I got really good at, I had to figure out, okay, how do I interview? How do I hire? How do I onboard? How do I manage people? How do I retain these people? And the second year after my divorce, I paid myself over $100,000, not revenue, but income, working 25 hours a week. So I crushed it.
Yeah. So like, I mean, I wonder how many people are in that position maybe where they're still working the 50 hour weeks and trying to, and I feel like your insight was, I need to leverage other people's time. I need to start to regain some of my time and my sanity. And I'm going to do that by expanding my virtual team.
Yeah.
And sometimes I hear from people, they're like, yeah, like, I don't have time to like run my agency or put enough hours into the business. And simultaneously there's like resistance around like hiring people. And I'm like, man, the only way to get to like a real lean week is by leveraging, some type of, whether it's, other people's time or whether it's a tool or like you have to find that point of leverage. And so sounds like for you was kind of going from a couple of contractors to, over maybe a period of years, a five person team that's now, kind of the engine of the agency.
Well, yeah, like that year, basically I went from, I think I've never had more than like seven contractors, which includes a bookkeeper, a virtual assistant, but I've always had like five people between designers and developers working. Well, since that season, I've had the same team, honestly, since then, like since 5 years ago and all full time. And I just, because I knew what I needed to make. I knew how much money I needed to make. Like I live in Vancouver. It's a very, very, very expensive city. So I knew I had to make a certain amount of money. But I also knew I didn't want to be so busy that I was thinking about work at night or on the weekend or at my son's volleyball game. Like I knew. So for me, that kind of around that 300,000 sales a year is kind of that sweet spot for me in this season of my life as a parent with kids. Like I didn't want to be busier, like scaling at this season with kids and hobbies and fitness. And it wasn't something that was top of mind to me to become a $1 million agency, So to me, it was, I built a team that was, gave us enough capacity that would sell enough to pay enough. And I just continued to refine it So now if I work 15, 20 hours a week, it's a busy week for me, like in my agency specifically. So yeah, I got a good team. I got a really good team. I'm so grateful. Again, I've had the same crew for more or less since day one. So
yeah.
So grateful for that.
Yeah. I love just hearing the, like when we have clarity around like what the goal is, and some of the people like, you know, they see other successful entrepreneurs and they adopt their goals, which is not super cool. One of my personal mentors, a guy named Taki Moore, says it's kind of like putting on like other people's underwear. You know, it's like not like it just doesn't work. You know, like you don't want to wear other people's underwear, right? You want to wear your underwear, right? So like your goals, your mission, your vision, your values, right, is what's important. And then you work backwards from that versus like having somebody else tell you like, oh, your goal should be, you know, this, right? And then you're like, oh, okay, cool. Now I got to like build that business, right? And then you end up with that. I've seen a lot of people end up with that business. It's somebody else's goal. And then they're like, well, this isn't really what I wanted. but I didn't define what I wanted, right?
But it's hard because when you're an ambitious person, like I am definitely an alpha personality. Like I am the driver person. So I'm not like, so to me, but it's also, I have to like check my ambition with my ability to be present as a parent. Like if I'm so in my zone of building a 7-figure business, like that's been on my bucket list since I was 15 years old. I mean, it's something I'm going to do in my life, but it's like, I just always found for me that the busier I got, the more distracted I got. Mm. And I couldn't be at my son's league football game without checking my phone. You know, I couldn't like sit and help my daughter with her math homework with knowing Slack was like beeping at me. Like I couldn't do it. Like I wasn't willing to make that trade of, you know, my kids for my career. And so I just figured out it's both or nothing. And so it's like, okay, when my kids are a little bit bigger, can I go more head down and, you know, focus on building a 7-figure business? 100%. Right. But at this point in my life, with the kind of relationships I want to have and the way I want to take care of my body and the personal interests I have, like, am I willing to make that trade? If I'm honest, like not right now.
Yeah.
Like I love it. I dream about it. Like I dream about being the kind of woman who makes a 7-figure, runs a 7-figure company, like multi, like 100%. But I just know the mental toll for me that takes, maybe not for everybody, but the emotional mental investment that takes, like that to me is not more important than my ability to like, kids come home from school and I'm done work for the day. I'm done. You know, like I never work when my kids are home.
Are there any guardrails that you've set up for that? I just imagine, you know, like how do you boil a frog? You just like, you know, put him in a pot of cold water and you just increase the temperature and they're like, yeah, it's cool. We're chilling. And then all of a sudden it's like too late. Right. And I think for a lot of people, work can easily become that scenario where, you know, you give it a little bit more and you give it a little bit more and you give it a little bit more and it's like, ooh, I'm getting results. We're growing, right? I mean, is there anything that you've intentionally put into your week or schedule or accountability? I mean, I guess how do you make sure that you're keeping into that like 15-hour week kind of frame?
Yeah, I think, well, like my team knows that I am online and accessible between 9 and 2. So kind of like I drive my kids to school, come home, and I'm usually in front of my computer 9 to 2, kids are at school. During the summer, obviously, you have kids, you know, that's a little more difficult, but that's always kind of the goal. So in that time, I will be physically at my desk. If I'm actively working in the agency, yes, it's debatable, but I will be, but I'll also be working on my own projects. I got to do business coaching part-time. I'm working on a PhD. Like I have other stuff that I'm doing, but I'm physically at my desk between 9 and 2. My team knows that if they need me to ask a question or they need me to physically be in front of the computer, that's their window.
Okay.
So like they know like after that, I'm going to be in the car picking up my kids, going to da-da-da, whatever it is. And they know I won't be able to send a file or reset the password. You know what I mean? It's just not going to happen. So they all know that. So I think that's one thing is they know my schedule. And then I only hire people who can work or willing to work within my schedule. I don't hire within outside of 3 hours of my time zone unless they are on board with being online when I am online. I have no exceptions. I am not going to wake up and do a phone call with you at 2 a.m. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to be online. It's my 7 p.m. to check. It's not going to happen. Like, if you can't work on my time, this is a non-starter.
Yeah.
So that to me is a big one. I have...
Which I think is really fair to put out there right? I mean, upfront, right? If you're upfront with people like, hey, this is like, I'm looking for somebody and part of the job description is like, hey, this is when you need to be available and whether or not that works for somebody or not, right?
Yeah, exactly. And just, I think it's having that kind of mentality that it's like, there's not just one person for everything, you know, being like, you could find, okay, yeah, you got this offer from this guy, but he's not the only guy. You could find another guy.
Yeah.
And I think kind of like putting, you have the rules. Like I, when I do business coaching as well. And I always tell people, I'm like, I write the checks here, not you. I write the checks. I get to make the decision. And if you are consistently not online when I want you to be, I will fire you, period. This is my life. This is my, so too bad, so sad. You know, like, I guess I have a very like authoritative approach to it. But that being said, I don't expect my team to work outside the hours they give me. I don't expect them to work weekends. I don't expect them to work evenings. I don't expect them to, like, if they do something and they're not going to be online till 12, I'm not going to message them and be like, hey, where are you? Like, no, like, I give them their space and respect their boundaries too, right? So it works both ways.
Yeah.
Hey, agency owners, are you looking for a strategic and reliable white label partner to scale your agency business? E2M is the number one white label partner for digital agencies when it comes to website design, web development, e-commerce, SEO, and content writing. E2M is trusted by over 150 agency partners and has been providing white label services for the last 10 years. Their team has over 170 experts and is on a mission to help 500 agencies increase their revenue and profit margins with impactful white label services. Check out their transparent and flexible white label pricing at e2msolutions.com/yougurus. That's www.e2msolutions.com/UGURUS. E2M is currently running a special discount for 10% off for your first 3 months. Check it out now. It's available for a limited time.
I think that's a really good way to frame that of like having like high expectations, but also having fair boundaries with people versus, you know, expecting them to work, you know, team members to work around the clock. And I would just come back to like being, you know, having really clear expectations up front and recruiting and hiring based on those expectations versus bringing somebody on and then, you know, and then be like, oh yeah, hey, by the way, we need you to work like these really funky hours if you're going to succeed here. And then they're like, wow, I just accepted this job, but I wasn't expecting this, right? So
absolutely. Yeah. No.
And Natasha, I love this conversation. I mean, I love the tips around, like, I think virtual team, the, you know, some of the transition and I'm sure the challenges. I'm sure there was a lot of unsaid challenges of going from, you know, two-parent household side business to this is my full-time thing. I feel like I could read between the lines that was probably a very frustrating and difficult season of your life.
Terrifying
might be another way to put it. But yeah, you have a quick second to stick around for our lightning round?
I do. I got my answers ready to go.
Oh, you are prepared, right? You are. I think if I was answering a lightning round, I'd be like, what? Lightning round? There's a lightning round, right?
No, I got trapped. Amazing. They told me all I need to know.
What is the best advice you've ever received?
I think the best advice I've received is not to personalize failure and to take like a plan, do, review approach to your life. And not even failure. I hate that word. Plan, do, review. Hey, let's try this. Let's see what happens. How'd that go? Not so good. All right. Plan, do, like it just depersonalizes something not quite working out. And you're like, all right, let's do it. Repeat.
Which of your personal habits has contributed most to your success?
Like I was saying, staying in my lane. I don't go in their lane. I stay in my lane. And I hire to my weaknesses. So I hire amazing people who do their job and I do my job.
Can you share an internet resource, a tool or app that you've been digging lately that you think our listeners would find valuable?
How else could I say the YouGurus community? I've been a solopreneur, or not solopreneur, sorry. I've been an agency owner for 8 years and the hardest part is feeling like you're so alone all the time. And honestly, like the YouGurus community is incredible. Like I don't know how I would run my business without having that Slack channel anymore. I wouldn't even want to imagine it. So.
Well, that was not pre-scripted. I did not know that that was going to be your answer, Natasha.
I know. I thought about it because I didn't want it to sound canned. I thought about what I would say, but I'm like, honestly, in the last year, that has been my, like for the last 6 months has been my go-to resource for emotional support.
Love
intellectual
it.
Support, technical support. Yeah, it's great. Great.
Nice. And what book would you recommend?
Oh my God. There's only one book that I go to all the time. It's called You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. She is like she's my mentor and she doesn't even know it. I've probably listened to that book like 20 times.
Love it. I don't know if I've seen that book a million and one times, but I don't know if it's ever made it to our book recommendations. So
no, it has to be there.
Yeah. Love it. We will link out to You Are a Badass, as well as You Gurus. Hey, you're listening to the You Gurus podcast. Go check out our show notes to go find out more information about You Gurus. But go to yougurus.com/podcast. If you listen to this week of, you'll see Natasha's photo at the top. Click on Natasha. You'll see tips, takeaways, nuggets, links from today's episode all in one nice, neat place. Natasha, how can our audience find out more about you? Is there anything that you have they can check out?
For sure. Well, if they want to learn about me as the agency, they can just go to my website, which is onpurposeprojects.com. If they already are in You Gurus, just tag me on Slack and I'd love to say hi. So,
awesome. Well, we will make sure to link out to onpurposeprojects.com. Love your site. Super clear, to the point, exactly what you guys do. And I think it's super clean and simple, right? So love it. We'll link out to onpurposeprojects.com as well on our show notes page. So if you're looking to follow up with Natasha, find out more about her business, we'll probably throw your social media profiles on there as well. So take a look, follow up with Natasha, connect, learn more about what she's up to. Natasha, thanks so much for stopping by the program today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And that's it for this week's episode of The Digital Agency Show. Stay tuned each and every week for more great content coming to you to help you grow your digital agency so you can achieve freedom in business and life. Until next time, I'm Brent Weaver. We put together an agency accelerator package for agency owners and growing freelancers looking to scale. We've got all kinds of free resources like the 39 Lead Gen Strategies Checklist, our $20,000 website proposal template, live trainings hosted by yours truly, free access to our community group, and much, much more. Get access now and dive in at yougurus.com/agency. That's yougurus.com/agency.